Welcome to Mystics and Broomsticks podcast with Melanie Dawn and Tanya Ryan.
You know what I love about science is that when we are approaching things in a science-based environment, it's like, okay, so start over. Science works to, like, if essentially it, like, comes up with a conclusion and then immediately keeps, like, working at it to, like, disprove that conclusion. So, like, this is, like, constant evolution. What I like about science is the same thing that I enjoy, and it's the same approach that I take in witchcraft. So whenever I do, like, a working, whenever I do, like, a spell, I try, you know, that ward or that thing or whatever, like, energy work, all of it. I'm always, like, sitting there almost, like, trying to disprove it. And I have the biggest, loudest inner skeptic. I am very pragmatic. I still would like to believe that I'm not going to get hosed by a scammer, right? Like, I'm always just questioning things. And one of my favorite witchy teachers, I've had her on the podcast. So maybe if you haven't listened to that episode, you got to check it out. She's just so great. Her name is Midnight Mama Witch. And that was one of the things she said in that episode that made me kind of like a ride or die for her, which is, like, when you are practicing witchcraft, you should question everything. You should, if you're following someone, if you're learning from someone, like, everything should be questioned. Like, you should never, ever follow someone without questioning. And I'm like, oh, see, that puts, and she's like, she says it with her own teachings as well. She's like, don't listen to me, question things I say, like, question me. And I just think that's, like, such a healthy attitude towards everything, let's be honest, right? Not just witchcraft, but, like, all of it. And science is the same thing. And I think in any field, and that includes science, it includes spirituality, like, we can get kind of dogmatic, we can get kind of egocentric, we can get really protective of things we believe, and then we, like, make them kind of, I think people kind of almost, like, ingrain them in their identities in some way. I did it a lot with yoga. Like, I learned, I put so much trust in my teacher that taught me how to teach and practice yoga. That when I learned, like, oh, actually that the way that I learned is not the safest way in, you know, every body, maybe in that body it works, but in this one, it doesn't. I felt, like, almost some shame. I felt some embarrassment. Like, how could I have, you know, how many people did I put through that pose the wrong way, thinking and religiously, like, would have died on the hill saying it was the right way, learning it's not the right way, or it's not the only way, or whatever. I get it. I get why we can get really, you know, tenacious or passionate or ingrained in a way. It's because sometimes when we have a new way, then that means we were wrong before, and being wrong is awful. So I'm here to be like, guys, I was wrong. So if you go back into episode history, I have, and actually I should invite her back. I wish I had her on this episode, but just scheduling is sometimes tricky for me. So you just have me alone today. What was that? I think season 3, I did an episode. It might be season 4, but I think it was season 3. I did an episode with Kira on protection magic. And she and I talked about how we feel like it's really harped on in the, you know, spiritual community. Protection, protection. And I'm like, from what? But to defend myself, and I don't want to speak on her behalf, but I have talked to her a little bit about, you know, some of my new thoughts around protection magic, and she seemed to be in alignment with those thoughts as well. And again, I don't want to speak on her behalf, but I also don't want to sound like I'm just, like, you know, throwing us under the bus either. So I'm just speaking for myself today. Let's just make that super, super clear. I do feel like there can be, like, spiritual people who fearmonger, and it's really so they can position themselves in a place of guru-esque or, like, guidance. So if they scare you enough, then you feel not comfortable doing things alone. And I guess because I have practiced as a solitary witch for, like, 95% of my practice, and, you know, most of that in the closet, right? I want to validate that people can work by themselves and they should feel safe to do that. I don't want someone to avoid this practice because they feel like they need help or support when you can do it on your own and you are safe to do it on your own. So I think that's maybe the roots, and that's what I'll probably stand beside as far as what I was saying before in the protection magic arena. Because I guess this year I've really learned the benefits, like even the necessity of protection magic. And not, I guess, in the way that I expected. So when I thought protection magic, I thought I was warding off evil spirits and demons and like horrible things, unspeakable things. And that was the fear-mongering part. I was like, it's pretty mundane. Like I have a very mundane magical experience. Okay. I love it. But it's not, you know, like I have not won the lottery. That would be kind of extraordinary type of magical type stuff. Right. I find $5 bills sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still cool. One day my favorite tea appeared. And when I say appeared, I was like staring at the shelf, like willing the tea to show up. Finally resigned. Like, I stood in the aisle for a long time, like, cause I was just so not accepting that my favorite tea was not in stock. Like, there it was, empty. I saw the little sticker and the whole row was empty. I finally resigned, like, okay, I will take this other tea. And behind that tea was my favorite tea. Those are what I like to call mini miracles. Okay. That was amazing. Mini magics. Love that. Anyways. So for those types of things, I do feel like we don't need like Fort Knox level protection things. Now, here's the but. So that's what I said in the previous episode, is we're like Fort Knoxing for simple little spells and workings and rituals. Here's where protection magic in my world has come in very, very, very handy. And it's against the inadvertent juju that people are sending you, and very specifically around social media, even though I think it does go in much more broad spaces. But even though we all know that social media is a highlight reel, like that's not the complete experience of what someone's going through. And I very specifically on social media, I definitely had an era where I shared a lot of my like deeper, darker experiences. Weirdly enough, got a lot of traction, but I kind of gave myself the ick, and I brought all that back in. And then I was like, I just actually want to show up on this platform in a more neutral or positive light. I want to maybe have people rely on my feed for funny memes. And that could change. Like, I've got a 10th house in Gemini. I'll probably change it to like, I don't know, all the time. I'll change it all the fucking time. But yeah, so I want to be conscientious of what types of, you know, intensity, I guess, I'm sharing on the internet. And I won't say negativity, because to me, negativity is actively like bringing down, like bringing someone down. So for instance, I have also an internet philosophy is like, if I have nothing nice to say, like on a video, I'm not saying it. I just move along. I will post the occasional like funny comment, but and again, it's not mean. It's just like, interesting. Like, did anyone see Nick Lachey? What was he covering? I don't remember, but it was like hard. It was really cringy. I didn't have to say anything because the comment section did it for me. It was a hilarious comment section. See, I can appreciate the stuff people put on the internet. I'm not trying to add to the dark place that the web can be, but I did write, I was like, I hope Jess sees this. Like, I want that for her. Or I hope Jess sees this comment section. I want that for her. Anyways, if you haven't seen that Nick Lachey video, just do yourself a favor. Go watch it and then go read the comments, because that really brightened my day. Okay, sorry. Back to the point. The point is protection magic. Okay, so there is a lot of, like, have you ever been on the internet and you're scrolling and you see someone's and you're just like, bleh. Like, you just, you get the ick, you give them, like, or you feel jealous. Like, you're like, why they sold out a program and you can hardly get two people registered in yours, and you feel jealous of them. Or maybe you see this beautiful photograph where they're smiling with their family and you just, like, you know, swore at your kids and made them cry. Like, no, just me? Okay, great. It's just like we can send inadvertent ick and bad vibes to people all the time. And that is a part of our humanness. And if you think you are not doing it, my friend, reality check, I would love to just come and gently smack you upside the head and be like, girl, you're the problem. Like, it's, everybody does it. It is a part of the human existence. We all feel jealousy. We all feel envy. We all feel mad at someone for simply existing because they exist. I don't know. Like, what, that person's a Capricorn, that person's a Gemini. They're just like not going to get along. Okay. It's just the way it is. It's fine. Let's move on. It's, you're going to come into contact with people you don't like, and not because they're a bad person, but because you just are not in alignment. But we can kind of like send those vibes out all the time. And that is probably the, like, that is where I will go ride or die on protection magic now, is going, oh shit, like, I actually don't have to, like, I, there are, you know, magical energetic boundaries that I can put in place where I don't have to feel the effects of that negativity or that negative energy. So, or I can at least dilute the effects if I'm not altogether, you know, abolishing them, right? Again, we don't get to escape the human experience. You don't get to, like, I feel like you can't use protection magic to dodge accountability. I don't feel it works that way. But you can use it for, so if someone's, you know, really, really envious of you, maybe, like, those vibes are kind of leaking into your space, and maybe you're just, like, really tired inexplicably. Maybe you're, you kind of get sick regularly. Like, why are you sick all the time? Or maybe you are just kind of feeling down on yourself, or you're not productive, or whatever. Again, this is, like, kind of, to me, a sign that you've got some stagnant or lingering energy in your space. And honestly, some of that can be your own fucking vibes, like your own ick, your own, like, do your laundry, please. Like, blessings and love to you, but please go do a load of laundry, like, clear some stuff out. That's some of your ick. So it, like, the, with our own ick, that's why when we're cleansing and clearing, we're opening up the doors and the windows, or the windows, you know, however you do it. It's not to get rid of, like, the evil spirits living in your house. Like, it could be, if you've got some extra, you know, zingy juju in your space, sure. But a lot of that is actually just getting out your stuff, like your negative self-talk. Your, like, all of that carries an energy. So it's not that I'm going to get you to stop negative self-talking. Like, I'll, obviously that's the goal. I'm trying to see if I can give you the, so it's like, this is a bad example, but it's the only one that's coming into my head right now. If negative self-talk was your body, the negativity that lingers in your house is like your dander, like the dust mites, like the, you know how they say dust is like mostly, you know, dead skin cells or whatever. I'm sorry, this is gross. I can't think of anything else, but essentially the negative self-talk is like your body, the dust mites, the whatever, that's the negative energy. So we're, it's like cleaning your house regularly of negative energy, clearing it out. So we clear it out and then we put wards up, and you have to maintain this just like you maintain the cleanliness of your home. And you will probably notice, the consequences, and consequences for our terms and purposes is a neutral word. The consequences, for better or worse, when you do maintain your cleansing and protective hygiene schedule, for lack of a better term. So I hope, if anything, that, like, and all, Oh man, ADHD people, neurodivergent people, podcast and doing these things is a great, great way to do, like, sweep your floors. Like, again, I hope you're like doing your laundry right now. Just go do it right now. I'm just talking to you. You probably have headphones. Bring your phone with you. Like, what you can, I'm mobile here, so take me with you. But do the things while you're listening to an audiobook, while you're listening to your favorite music, while you are listening to a podcast or, you know, whatever. But you can do these things. They shouldn't feel, do them in a way that they don't feel burdensome. It should feel fun, or maybe it has to look different each time. So anyways, if you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I'm in, you got it. You've convinced me. You've spent however much time talking about the importance of doing this stuff. You've not told me how. Okay. So the internet's a great resource on how. There are books. I just ordered one. I'll try to search it up as I'm talking and do two things at once here. But I just ordered one. I heard it's really good. I can't say from experience because it's not even at my doorstep yet. So if I get it, or if I learn anything else about it, I will update you. Nope, I can't find it. It's called something like Magical Defense. Oh, crap. Okay. I will try to find it. These are all just shipping notifications. This is not helping me. Okay. I'm just doing such a great job. All right. So the internet is a great resource for finding ways to cleanse and protect your home. I always feel just a little bit bummed when someone feels like they need to hire someone to do cleansing in their home. Like, you are more than capable of cleansing your home. Again, it's just a matter of like doing it. And there's all sorts of ways to go about it. So you can, smoke cleanse is probably my go-to. It's my favorite. That's getting a certain type of dried herb, sage, incense, Palo Santo, as long as it's ethically sourced. There's, you know, and then you burn that, it creates a smoke, and then you take the smoke around your house. So usually when I'm doing this, I might just have the intention to like almost clean, like you'd be dusting or sweeping, right? Just kind of like get the energy out. I usually, if not always, open a window, or again, a door, and usually again, multiples, like I kind of just, you know, clear, just like, thinking about almost the outside being a vacuum. If I open the window, it just kind of can kind of suck it out. So I love a good smoke cleanse, but if you are, maybe sensitive or have allergies or you're asthmatic, that might not be your best go-to. You can create a spray with essential oils that you love. You could do energetic cleansing is really just visualizing the energy and then moving it out of your space, again, out the window, however you want to go about it. What do we do? Smoke, spray. I know I'm forgetting like a big one right now. Nothing else is coming to me, but there's kind of no wrong way to go about it. Your imagination is a great tool, and it's all you need to help clear your space of things that you don't want there. Like maybe it just feels like, for me anyways, I noticed it when it feels heavy or my family just gets like really moody. Like we're kind of like, eh, I don't like you. Like it's just, it feels like a heaviness. I also personally notice almost like a stagnance to the air, the air in my house feels denser or heavier. And again, this could all be in my imagination. I don't know, but that's just like how I take the cues to cleanse. So again, you can Google it if you don't feel like I gave you a very comprehensive, example. And I do spray cleansing too, actually, a lot. I just make, here's like a little fun recipe. I get a spray bottle from the dollar store. I like the big, big ones, like not the ones you press with your index finger, but the ones that have like the pump, like a Windex bottle. I want a big guy because I spray a lot. So if you use distilled water, a little bit of either alcohol or witch hazel, the witch hazel, the alcohol works as a kind of like a preservative. So, it won't, like, you know, how water, when it sits out, it kind of goes stale. So if you have a little bit of witch hazel or a little bit of alcohol, it won't do that. And then put in your favorite essential oils. A really, really great blend is lavender, grapefruit, and lime. Oh my God. So, so yum. Okay. So there you go. There's my one spray recipe that you can have. And then you just go through your house and again, visualize, like, what's your intention? Are you clearing energies? Are you in, like, you know, inserting good energies like citrus? So you got lime and grapefruit in that spray, have like a natural vibrancy to them and kind of joy. Lavender has a nice and peace and calm. So when I'm spraying, maybe I'm sitting there going like, here, I want peace and calm and joy and vitality in my home and go around and spray. So you could do your smoke cleanse first, clearing out the negativity, get rid of things, maybe spray to infuse things. But again, there's no wrong answer in how you go about this. And make it something that doesn't feel like work to you. So if you need to just take one tool and just go, I want bad vibes out, good vibes in, that could be your whole mantra as you're going around your house with your like little, you know, Palo Santo stick or whatever. Don't overcomplicate it. It doesn't need to be complicated. Once you've cleansed, that's a great time to reinforce or build wards. So wards or your protective magic, essentially. So my favorite is, like, it's very simple, is essentially like putting kind of like my space into like a biodome. It's basically just this like sphere, this and it works like, I'm just getting weird visuals today, but this one, it works like, is it the Death Star in Star Wars? I don't know. They put up like a force field and like you pew, pew, they couldn't get through it. That's more or less what we're working with here, is that you want some sort of force field over your space so that what you do not want is not penetrating that space. And something to remember is, like, if you are new as an energy worker, your workings might not be as potent. They might not be as strong. They might be faulty. So like, say you do everything I say, and then something, you know, ick happens, or something not great happens, or something unideal, especially if it's like right after you did all of this, that just might be indicative. It's kind of like the universe's way of saying, hey, oop, you missed a spot, like, or here there's like a little gap in your force field. Like you didn't specifically mention things of this nature, or, and not all of us need to be specific. It's again, learning your type of magic and your type of language. So, what I like to emphasize is it's practice, and you will learn. The more you practice, the more you learn. And it's a huge trust process, because no one is going to openly come in and tell you like, hey, there's a gap in your wards. It's only going to come through in actions, like in environmental changes. That is the response. So even though maybe the first knee-jerk response would be like, oh, these wards are bullshit, they don't work, it's different. It's your wards going, hey, actually, I'm trying to tell you, you need to be more specific. I'm trying to tell you, you missed a spot. I'm trying to tell you. So so then go back and change the ward a little bit. The other environmental factor that might shift is if you build, like a Fort Knox style ward, you might notice that, they're like, okay, this might be a good example. You build a Fort Knox style ward and you're a medium. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, I, my mediumship, like, where'd it go? Why, you know, your wards might be a little too intense. Like, maybe your spirits can't communicate as easily. So you almost got to create an entrance, a loophole, a door, hours of business where they can kind of freely move through those wards. So this is what I mean by practice and continuing to like revisit and go back into things, because you need to use your environmental factors as feedback, not as failures. Like, you didn't fail, you didn't flub it. It's not even that's not working. But you got to go back and try again. Could you imagine how unsuccessful science experiments would be if they tried once and then were like, well, that didn't work. Guess we're never having electricity. It doesn't exist. I tried once. When I say you want to go into your magic, or I go into mine with like this scientific brain, it's also not accepting failures as a failure. It's going, okay, I missed something, or that's interesting. Why why did that happen that way? What can I change about my working? So I don't know if you've heard of the term Book of Shadows. So there's Grimoire, Book of Shadows, and Spellbook are the three terms I know. And apparently these are all different. They kind of don't have to be, but that would make it more Book of Shadows style. So a Book of Shadows is sort of a compilation. Your Book of Shadows should be messy. So this is me giving you like permission. If you have that beautiful leather journal and maybe you have some beautiful pen and it just sits there empty because you're like, it's so pretty, I don't want to mess it up. Book of Shadows are supposed to be messy, notated. There should be like extra fucking papers in there, crossed out words, things that aren't pretty. Like that's what your Book of Shadows should look like. That is like your brain and magical safe space. So you want to like build your spells in your Book of Shadows. You want to add your notes like, oh, I did this. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't work. You edit. And so it's almost like your Book of Shadows is like showing your work. You know, when you had to do that in math class, like it didn't matter if I got the answer right. I didn't show my work, so I didn't get all the marks. Like your Book of Shadows, I want to see all the work, everything. It's your grimoire. Well, it's actually your spell book is like the cleanest. The spell book is literally just a book of spells. A grimoire is kind of, I see it anyways, is in between. It's like the tidied up version of the spell, but maybe with some notes or some personal like touches kind of a thing. I would say most public things for consumption, like if you're buying a witchery book, most of them are more like grimoire style. Lots of them spell books too, which is again, just like a cookbook. A spell book is like a cookbook. It's just recipes. And then the grimoire is going to be like the recipe and also probably the story behind the recipe. And then the Book of Shadows is the manuscript. It's like the first draft. It's all the markings and stuff. So give yourself permission to be messy, to try things, and to trust that the first go was never supposed to be it. It was never supposed to be the right one. It was never supposed to be the finished product. So be messy, go make mistakes, go have failures, because you are learning so much more through failing than you could ever learn through succeeding. Succeeding doesn't teach us anything. It feels good. That's nice. I think success is really just like a reprieve from failing. That's really how we should see success. It's like, oh, that was just your break between the failure. It was kind of like your like little dopamine hit. Now you go back to failing again. Like it's, we're never going to get into a series of successes. That doesn't happen. Even if you think you see someone that's happening to, it doesn't. They're just sharing their successes and they're showing you their spell book or their grimoire. They're showing you the results. They're just not showing the Book of Shadows, and they don't have to. Some people will. Some people will share their Book of Shadows. They will show you all the ins and outs, all of the flaws, all the flubs, all the, you know, misprints and step ups and whatever. But they don't have to do that. It's okay that they just show you, you know, where they succeeded. And hopefully you can take some of those successes that they've had and use them, like leverage them, jump on them for sure. But again, don't make assumptions about someone's successes. That's in our minds. We make that shit up. Anyways, hopefully that gives you some tools that you can play around with. Another thing I would encourage as far as like, so I would definitely have a boundary, barrier, force field, or whatever you want to call it, around your space of living. You might consider one around your space of work. You might consider having a form of talisman on your person, like having something on you at all times. So especially if you're someone who identifies as being like an emotional or energetic sponge, like you go out into spaces or areas and you really like kind of feel cluttered or messy after. The other thing, if you're an energetic emotional sponge, is remember that after you are in settings, you are saturated. The sponge is full. So you do need to go like wring out the sponge. Otherwise you get kind of musty and smelly, AKA like you get kind of crabby and unpleasant to be around. Sorry, but it's true. So what I need you to do is make sure that you are responsible for your emotional hygiene. If you know that you are a person that absorbs emotions, then you have to do a better job of being in a state of spiritual hygiene. So what the ring out for your person, like for if you go out into a public space and you're an energetically sensitive, spongy person, then when you get home, then you need to be doing something that is wringing out your sponge? Are you sitting and grounding? Are you meditating? Are you going for like a mental health hot girl walk? Are you having a very intentional shower or bath that's like releasing that energy down the drain? Maybe like a little mini ceremony. Maybe it's like a mini cleanse. Like you're just kind of taking, this is one I got from Midnight Mama Witch, is you take your hands. So if you have your hands open in front of you, and say you stick all your fingers together, your thumbs wide apart. So it looks like there's two L shapes on your hands. Hopefully this is a good description. Then take those hands and start at the top of your head and use your hands like squeegees and squeegee the energy off your body thoroughly and into the ground, down the drain. Again, like whatever feels right. Just, you know, don't flick it around your space or kind of whatever, tar up the walls. But just make sure you're intentionally investing that energy into a like outside would be awesome. But I know a lot of us are Canadians that are cold. So your floor will work. Like your home will ground that energy for you too. But yeah, just make sure you are being accountable so that you don't have to live in energetic muck. Like we all have a choice. And, you know, check yourself. And if that's something that is a challenge for you, then own the hygiene part of it, you know, so we don't become musty sponges. Okay. So I feel like I'm going to the end. Again, if you're interested in talismans, you can purchase one. Like, some of them are like, say you have a good chunk of money. They're my favorite, but they're definitely not cheap. But is it Pyra? Pyra? P-Y-R-R-H-A? I don't know if that's correct, but it's close enough. You'll be able to Google it. But those are an example of a talisman that sort of comes with like an intention set already. So maybe that's something you want to get after. That's again, just an example. You can also, it can be free or cheap. Like you could braid yourself a little hemp bracelet that could work as your talisman. That would cost, you know, 40 cents. So it's not about it having to be costly. It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be official, but you know, there's some aesthetic girlies out there and that Pyra, I tell you, is like beautiful stuff. So, you know, you're welcome. Go check it out. Bless you. I love you. I hope that these are helpful to you. If you try anything out that I mentioned, please let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Mystics and Broomsticks podcast. If you want to reach out, you can hit me up at Tanya Ryan XO. We're also on Instagram as at Mystics and Broomsticks, or you can email us mysticsandbroomsticks@gmail.com. Peace in, peace out.